will determine their destiny.
Get myself to the point where I'm ready to play at full speed, because that's the biggest thing. You know, what it feels like to get bull rush full speed, all that kind of stuff. Getting back into that groove of live football.
Training Camp 2022 is here. And nobody's got camp covered like us.
Our camp coverage is brought to you by Kia. Movement that inspires. Hooters. Hooteroo is in full swing with a festival of summer deals. And Coca-Cola.
Knowing they're fighting not only with the players here for their jobs, but also outside the building.
Now, let's go live to Falcons training camp at Flowery Branch with Steak Shapiro and Sandra Golden. It's the Steakhouse on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Here's Steak and Sandra.
We are ready to roll on a Tuesday. Steak Shapiro, Sandra Golden, the Steakhouse live at Flowery Branch Falcons training camp as they'll get ready to get out here and get after it as we have our third consecutive day here. We're back here tomorrow, and then we're going to do something unique. We're going to be in studio at our brand new, for us, our brand new home over there at Colony Square at 92.9.
Yeah, looking forward to both of it. So fans are out here today, but I think tomorrow's the last day it's open to the public, and it's a game week kind of situation. So we were watching yesterday, and it, just to set it up for y'all listening, the Falcons, there's two practice fields. Well, they've been practicing on the far away. I can't see anything because I'm so short.
Yeah.
But yesterday moved closer, did you see? So we could really kind of
cool.
get the action.
I enjoyed that.
I wonder if someone told them to say, could you just – a little closer.
I think they probably would have told him days ago, and coach was like, this is, we're not,
care.
Yeah, I don't care. But yesterday worked out great. Yeah. They were right in front of us. You know, Sandra and I are old vets. We've been through Furman. We also Sewanee. And then watching this facility, it's funny because I remember when they first built it and they first built the dorms out there and even the indoor practice facility, which, by the way, you remember Georgia used to have to schlep here?
That's right.
Because they didn't have their own indoor practice facility. Mm-hmm. And that was one thing Mark Richt always talks about.
Yeah.
Why are we going to somebody else's place to be able to practice
makes
inside?
No sense.
And now they've built it up. They're building a whole broadcast facility here as well. I mean, this campus is state-of-the-art campus.
It's funny because Matt Ryan, which I've been watching a lot on Twitter, when he's talking to the media in the first days of camp, he was like, for 14 years, everything was at the same place. So Indy, they schlep them somewhere for a few weeks. And so he was like, this
campus
is kind of, he's like, I'm not used to this. He said, I didn't know how good we had it over there.
I think he probably realized, and Colts are a great organization, but I think Falcons are next level just in terms of, you know, how they have built this thing up with Arthur Blank. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be fascinating on Friday night.
I wonder if I may, do you think players prefer to maybe camp it out of town? Get away from the family.
I don't think so because talking to them, they like in their off day that they can go home. It's much closer. Mm-hmm. And I think just more access and everybody together. I know the notion is get away together, but I think they're happy to be. And also routine-wise, this is where they're going to be all year, so they don't have to be out of routine. Anyway, how was your Monday night? Anything exciting?
Nothing monumental. How about you? There was no Braves on, so I'm always curious what you watch on TV.
So I watched – I got so many shows I'm watching, but I gave the two recommendations yesterday. I finished Blackbird and I finished The Bear.
Mm-hmm.
You ever see that Matt Damon movie, Stillwater?
Mm-mm.
Really good. I know it's old.
Is it an
older.
Old one? Okay.
Well, a couple of years old. I watched the end of that. Listen, my kid had his first day of middle school. He wasn't that psyched about it. I had to coach him up a little
what
bit.
What do you mean he wasn't psyched about it?
Well, he didn't know as many kids. A lot of kids knew each other. You know me. Coach him up.
Yeah, what'd you say? Here's how to make your second day better.
Yeah.
Get your mind
Here's
right.
what you do. Get some donuts. Show up. Everybody love you. I always think the key to building friendship is through food. Right?
Well, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
I agree. So. Bring food. That's good.
All right. Let's check out what we need to know for a Tuesday morning.
Time for the 9 at 9.
The top headlines from the past 24 hours.
9 at 9.
On the Steakhouse.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
First up, Braves are going back to work tonight. They got a two-gamer in Boston. The first of it is tonight. Charlie Morton, Rich Hill on the mound. First pitch is 7:10.
Yeah, when they started interleague play years ago, Braves-Red Sox is one of those interleague games that folks just really flock to. Here, you'd see tens of thousands of Red Sox fans. Up there, you'd see all these Braves fans traveling north. It's not that it's totally lost its sexiness, but the Red Sox are a hot mess. I mean, a hot mess.
I wasn't sure if you were aware of how bad.
Yeah, really bad. And the Braves coming off kind of a rough stretch of late. But I think if school hadn't started for a lot of folks this week, you would see thousands of Braves fans in Boston. Very easy to get tickets now. Fenway Park, not a tough place. But because school's starting, we'll see how many Braves fans are up there tonight.
I agree. And while you were sleeping, the Braves lost a half a game in the standings because the Mets won. They beat Cincinnati 5-1 last night.
The Mets
are seven back.
Mets are playing with swagger. But again, I've seen it before. Sometimes we felt this way before. Sometimes, Sandra, I think we've looked at each other in July and August sometimes and said, I'm getting nervous. We're like, we're 20-4 our last 24. And then we're like, what's going to happen come October? I know it sounds silly to peak too early, but there is something to be said. Like, you can't maintain this pace. How do I know that? The Braves' pace was on fire for, 6 weeks? And now they've come back down to earth a little bit.
It'll beat up on the Red Sox and beat up on the Marlins this weekend, would you? Falcons day 9 of a training camp is today. Good news yesterday that Jalen Mayfield was back practicing.
We're not sure. Had
some back issues a couple days, and we're not sure if he's going to go tonight. Demaryius Thomas, Bebe, Georgia Tech legend at Denver, just a superstar kind of guy. Well, Peyton Manning and company were at Georgia Tech yesterday doing a lot of good things in his memory. Passed away at the age of 33 last December.
Yeah, Bebe Thomas Day, and they had that logo at midfield. They're going to also had a number of folks speak. We'll hear from Peyton later on. This is a cherished young man. There's a complete gentleman obviously passed way, way too early. A lot of details on his death coming out over the weekend as well.
Olivia Newton-John, at 73 years old, passed away yesterday. 30 years dealing with breast cancer.
So she had numerous iterations, I imagine, right?
And just what's going on. We'll talk about it more in Belly Up. We got a pretty good Belly Up, by the way, at 10 o'clock if you want to stay tuned for sure.
Well, Grease and Olivia Newton-John and that outfit.
Oh, my goodness.
That was the end-all, be-all.
It changed a lot of men's lives.
You didn't know. You started
it's
to
a
feel
great
funny.
Lesson for women. Here you go. Listen up. Yep. Don't be a goody two-shoes.
Right.
Put on the tight leather. That's when you'll get it.
Yeah, why maintain morals? Just dress as slutty as possible, and there's a good chance that you'll get your guy. But doesn't she flip back to the sweater after that? Oh, no, she doesn't, right?
No, she's full-on red
there.
Lipstick.
So when they get on that ride, that carnival ride?
Yeah, she's in the hot outfit. Yeah. She's hot girl summer for sure.
Yeah, she, like, don't maintain a sense of ethics and morality.
Right.
Just slut it up as much as possible.
There you go. And that's your moral for all the daughters listening. You're welcome. So Joseph Martinez, Atlanta United Zone, is having a baby. Now, how do I know that? Because he had a gender reveal on the Twitters. Okay? So
buy or sell gender reveals.
I love them. I don't know why everybody hates them. I think it's adorable. Get creative.
How did you know that people hate them?
Because I'm around men all the time.
Yeah.
Hate them.
They do get
annoyed. I know. I think they're cute. It doesn't bother me at all. But I do want to give some love to Mike Conti, our program director and fearless leader, who put on Twitter, which I think won the Twitter day, Orlando FC is getting a brother. In other
that
words.
That is funny, dude. That is some dissing.
So Joseph Martinez had a little boy. Mike Conti.
In other words,
so brilliant.
We are your daddy.
We're your daddy, Orlando.
So you're
FC.
A little boy, and now you're a little boy, Orlando. That is.
Next level.
That's strong.
That is.
Did that blow up?
Oh, yeah. It was fantastic.
Conti's had a good few days. He had that ridiculous call on Saturday.
Yeah, I think that went national, too, by the way, Mike. I saw it on national Twitter feeds last night.
Really?
Call. Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. Quickly, Kevin Durant. He is a special young man.
Well,
given an ultimatum to the Brooklyn Nets. Get everybody out of here. I'm leaving.
I have a lot to say on that. We'll do it after the break.
Right.
But it is remarkable. That's all I'll say about Kevin Durant.
An 8-9 quickly, the 285-400 experiment. It was a disaster day one. I heard folks were stranded and got off the wrong exit, and it was backed up for 2 hours. It looks like it's going a little bit better today. I'm actually going to drive down there and see if I can get in a wreck.
Research.
I'm going to see if I can get in a wreck.
Do
so
a
there you
market
go.
Research.
And, ooh, a little scoop for you. Rusty Mansell, our partner in crime right here on the Steakhouse, texted and said, first day in pads for the Georgia Bulldogs, and wait for it. At least 19 NFL scouts will be there on the first day in pads.
Well, there's a reason why they land as many five stars, just like Nick Saban. You want to play in the NFL? Great way to do it is to be at training camp at Georgia and look out there and see 19 different scouts. So Kirby's getting it going there. It's nothing but football before classes start in Athens. When we come back, pretty big news. CBS, who got dissed by the SEC, they're done with those 3:30 games. After this year, they have found a new girlfriend, maybe as hot as the SEC. We'll find out. Also, the least likable player in the NBA in a long, long time. And I'll tell you why. We are live at Falcons. We're live at training camp. This is the Steakhouse Sports Radio, 92.9, The Game.
Tailgate.
Taking a look around the world of college sports.
This is the Tailgate on the Steakhouse.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Welcome back into the Steakhouse. We're getting right to college football because all of a sudden there's a ton of news today. And Steak, I'm going to need your assist on this because the news broke last night that Fox is about to wrap up a billion, that's with a B, new television deal that leaves ESPN out for the first time in 40 years.
Well, yeah, but ESPN, the billion is combined for the Big Ten. So mm-hmm. The Big Ten basically is the big news, the 3:30 CBS game on the SEC, the SEC 3:30 game that Vern Lundquist and Gary Danielson, which now it's our buddy Brad Nessler and Gary Danielson, that's going away after this year. They did not renew the SEC with CBS. They're locked in with ABC mm-hmm. and ESPN. So the SEC and ESPN have a obviously the SEC network was built together, so they have a huge relationship. So that leaves a void. And the 3:30 game for CBS. They have cut a deal with the Big Ten. So the Big Ten now will be a part of not only Fox at noon, the big Fox game in the Big Ten. Now they'll have a 3:30 game as well with CBS, which I imagine maybe the same team, Gary Danielson and Nessler, may get the Big Ten. And then they also have a deal with NBC, Saturday Night Big Ten Football. So NBC's in the college football game separate in Notre Dame. They're going to try to say Saturday night the big college game, Saturday night the big NFL game. They're calling it a big weekend stuff. So all that combined is where the Big Ten is landing at close to $1 billion. However, mm-hmm. the SEC is like, that's adorable. They're going to have the noon SEC game on ESPN ABC. They'll have a 3:30 ESPN SEC game, and they'll have a night game as well. So basically, it's everybody else scrambling as ESPN and the SEC get real cozy, and it's over. You'll never see Big Ten football. You won't see Big Ten football on ESPN, ABC anymore.
So the college football fan wins, right?
Yeah, absolutely. More primetime games. Yeah. If you're a Big Ten fan, you got more places to see them, although ESPN won't be one of them. I'm going to miss the traditional 3:30 monster game. I think now that could be a primetime game, the big SEC game
right,
of the day.
Right, right.
Used to be the biggest game every Saturday for us was the 3:30 CBS. Now we'll see what ESPN wants to do. Are they going to make their 3:30 game the big game, or are they going to make the SEC night game the big game?
But for this coming season,
everything's
come September.
The same. Yeah,
okay.
It'll be the same.
Thank God.
Did that all make sense,
it
though?
Did. You did an excellent job of that because there's a lot of billions of dollars talking about. All right, I don't know how much you care about this because the coaches poll came out, which is your USA Today coaches poll.
Not really at all.
Exactly. So
keep going.
I'm going to be really quick. Alabama receiving 54 of the 66 first place votes. They're voted in 1, Ohio State 2, Georgia 3, Clemson, Notre Dame top 5. I will remind you that the coaches' ballots are not made public till after they announce the college football playoffs, and a lot of the times the coaches hand this to their assistant and say, yeah, take care of this.
Everybody's
place.
Trying to figure out, you know, who's going to get in, who's going to sneak in, mm-hmm. because you look at schedules, and certainly Bama with the best talent in college football, Georgia with a super favorable schedule, that horrible home schedule Georgia has. Most folks think they're going to be undefeated when they play Alabama in the SEC title game. Ohio State also completely loaded. So if you figure those three make a run, is Dabo back with Clemson with one of the best defenses around? Does somebody else sneak in like we've seen last year with Michigan getting in? You know, listen, this is not a wide-open deal. There's only a few schools that are really going to be in the mix together.
As per usual,
yes.
Rinse and repeat.
Absolutely.
Just want to mention again, Rusty Mansell, our teammate here, one of the co-hosts on The Steakhouse, texted this morning, and he said, listen, Georgia's in pads today for the first time, and at least 19 NFL scouts will be in Athens.
Yeah,
first day in practice in the fall. This is incredible.
Well, where else would you be if you're an NFL scout but at you know, the University of Georgia, especially given what happened in last year's draft with all those number one picks. And now you get a chance to see some of the guys on defense that are replacing the guys that are now scattered around the National Football League.
Peyton Manning was one of the dignitaries yesterday over on campus at Georgia Tech, celebrating the life of Demaryius Thomas, who played at Georgia Tech. Oh, he wore the number 8. He wore the number 88 with Denver. And Peyton and Bebe were very close friends, not just teammates. Ashley and Peyton have created a scholarship fund for this as part of the memory, and it was just really great to see. First of all, Peyton was very choked up yesterday. He was fighting through tears talking. Here's just a little bit of what he said about Bebe.
Demaryius was a big reason why I went to play in Denver, and you know, his unselfishness, his toughness. There's an old saying in football, there's a difference between being hurt and being injured. And Demaryius was hurt a lot, but yet he always practiced. He always played. He always answered the bell for his teammates. And
just a terrific guy, you guys. I remember covering him at Georgia Tech, and just a most soft-spoken, not what you'd think about a big-time receiver. Never wanted the spotlight. Also, a little bit of NFL news in here, but Roquan Smith of the Bears is requesting a trade this morning.
Yeah, what,
former dog.
What a strange
right?
tweet that he puts out, basically talking about how much he loves Chicago, that he came there with a mission to be in the same category as Wilbur Marshall, Mike Singletary, Brian Urlacher, Dick Butkus. He said, since the day I was drafted, I vowed to play the position on a level that upheld the standard that was set before me. He says, to the city of Chicago and all the Bears fans, I have officially requested a trade. Just writing these words is deeply painful.
Wonder what in the wide world of sports is going on.
Well, probably he's on a really bad team again, and he's watching Justin Fields slinging all over the place and thinking, I don't know, that's the answer. He got mocked pretty good, Justin Fields, you see yesterday on Twitter. Dude, people are mean.
Well, his receivers were wide open spaces, and he was overthrowing, underthrowing. I mean, listen.
He is a polarizing figure, man.
You guys just go type in Justin Fields on Twitter. He's right. People are
They're getting
nuts.
After him pretty good. No question about it. Anyway, that is the tailgate on the Steakhouse on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We do want to remind everybody it's day 4 of our little program here, which hopefully is not so little and is going to grow into a big, beautiful thing. And Steak and Sandra, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Steak Shapiro, at Sports Sandra. We'll always tell you what's coming up on the show, also kind of update you on all kinds of things happening with us, and at 92.9 The Game. Get on the Odyssey app. I worked out last night with my friend Dr. Bob. You know Bobby Kaufman, my buddy?
No.
Dr. Bobby? Mm-mm. Handsome fella. And he and I, after the workout, we said, you got to be listening. You have this 5 a.m. Wake up that he goes on a run. And I was like, you can listen to the show from yesterday. We were brilliant yesterday.
Oh,
absolutely
well,
brilliant,
thank you.
I
thank
told
you so much.
So get on the Odyssey app, plug in 92.9 The Game, and you can be listening to us, our show, and all the shows on the station anytime. But you have to have the Odyssey app or go on 92.9 The Game if you're on a desktop and just hit listen live. But make sure you are doing that as well. Also remind you, later on in the show, Todd Graffanini, one of our longtime friends, confidant, very funny, disturbed young man. He is the voice of the New Orleans Pelicans, but he's also going to preview the NFC South for us. And he's also kind of a character that's been on Atlanta radio for years that I'd like to say me and him kind of built this thing, and now he's on the right station talking to us
finally
this morning.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
And we're not going to give him a hard
time.
He's
a great guy, you guys.
So he's coming up as well. And yesterday, Rusty Manziel was on with us. Drew Butler later this week. Dave Archer later this week. And we'll play Buy or Sell on Friday. Very, very special guest you're going to freak out about as well. I do want to mention something, as I said, about the least likable NBA player. I mean, Kevin Durant, it would be hard. If this was a horse race, he's like 5 lengths ahead of everybody else.
Okay.
It's like he's trying to be the most unlikable, pampered, prima donna athlete of all time. You know, he couldn't handle when he went to Golden State after they had a 70-win year and he couldn't beat him in the playoffs and he had to go over there and win his championships with them. And he couldn't handle the criticism, so he had to set up a burner account to talk himself up, a special account that Kevin Durant was basically plugging in comments about himself.
And he hears every little bit of noise about
hears
it.
He hears everything.
Yeah,
it,
and he goes out of his way to hear it.
Listen,
really
we
crazy.
Are, like my kids like to tell me, your dad, you're like a C-minus level celebrity. I said, that's adorable.
That's so sweet.
I thought it's just B-level. No, Dad, you're like a C-level. Point being, we've all dealt with stuff just being in the media at all. And what I always say is, like, why would you even worry your pretty little head, especially if you're Kevin Durant worth close to $1 billion? But he can't help himself. Well, the train wreck that was the Brooklyn Nets this year, which was fueled by the ultimate just, you know, cancer, which is Kyrie Irving, who train wrecked their season single-handedly, and then they got swept by the Celtics. Like, if you want to blame anything, you blame it on Kyrie, always. And Kyrie is just a head case. So Kevin Durant yesterday can't get traded because they're being smart and saying, we need the right package if we're going to make a trade. Brooklyn, we're going to do what's best for Brooklyn. So he hasn't been traded. It's been 39 days. Yesterday has a meeting with Brooklyn Nets ownership and says, I'll stay, fire the coach, and fire the general manager. Fire the coach and GM, and I'll be nice enough to hang around.
So out Sean Marks, out Steve Nash. And then I'll consider
staying. Oh, my God. I mean, we are at a place where your star player, I mean, I've seen it with coaches. You know the famous story with Magic Johnson and Paul Westhead years ago, and it's happened many times. But now your GM is in the mix. What are you blaming those guys for? How about blaming the guy next to you, Kyrie Irving, right? Or Ben Simmons, who wouldn't even suit up after, you know, he's on that famous text message with a bunch of other Brooklyn players, and it's like, you playing game four? Radio silent. You got a disturbed individual in Kyrie Irving. You got a no-gamer in Ben Simmons, and you got the prima donna in Kevin Durant. If you could ever hate an NBA team more than the Brooklyn Nets, I don't know that you can, but now you can because he asked for those guys to be fired. By the way, Joe Tsai, who is the owner of the Brooklyn Nets and the managing partner of the Barclays Center, says, we are going to stand by our coach and our GM, and we're going to do what's right for our organization.
So now what happens?
It's a hot mess. It's a great question. Who knows? Maybe they have to lower their request, because what's Kevin Durant?
Yeah.
You got to fire the coach
and
the GM.
Don't the players love Steve Nash?
I think, I don't know. I don't know. Love might be strong. You know what I mean?
Lot on good crush.
When we come back, our old friend Todd Graffanini, back where he belongs, right next to Steak and Sander with a big hug. It's the Steakhouse, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Game, and I already thought that was the way I wanted to go too. So I'd like to get our starters some reps in this game, you know, maybe a quarter. And because there again, you just can't mimic game speed and game intensity. And the only way to get ready for a season is to simulate that intensity.
9:41, coming up, the NFC South preview. Todd Graffanini from New Orleans will join us. That's Dan Campbell. You surprised that he talked? This is, by the way, Steak Shapiro and Sandra Golden on the Steakhouse, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Surprised that he actually had a conversation with Coach Smith, and they actually went over, like, how long you guys are going to play or whatever?
Not at all. I think in preseason, all bets are off. We're just trying to stay healthy, see what we got here. Let's all agree to agree. Don't you think? Especially all those the camps that have practices together and play, you know,
well,
teams
that
together.
For sure. I was going to say, if you're practicing, then we're not doing that. But, yeah that's where you see a lot of the coaches' interaction.
I've just been amazed, and I've only been here for two of these live press conferences, of just how forthcoming Arthur Smith is. I just feel like he's
A lot of, you know, smoke and mirrors or, you know, phrases or I'm going to come in today and I'm going to show my intensity or I'm coming off the field. What do you want to know?
Yeah.
I'm not hiding nothing.
That's what I mean.
I'm not hiding from the players. I'm not hiding from you. Dresses every media member by their name. Knows them pretty well. Seems to
did
be
you see what he did
this team. No.
First of all, yesterday was the hottest day out here, they said.
Yeah, it was. Well, so, man, here at 11:30. It was no joke.
He opens up his presser by saying, I know it was hot out here. In fact, I made note of which media members were the first to leave the field and get under the tent. Jeff Schultz calls him right out. He plays with everybody. He's very smart. He's going to give you a little something-something. He's going to, you know, you're going to
no,
hang
I enjoy
with him.
No, I enjoy him.
I really do.
We got the opportunity to spend some time. We did a feature for the Falcons where he had brought a few of his players, mm-hmm. Anthony Rush and
Youngway
Koo, mm-hmm. and we sat and ate we had a three-course meal over at the Works on the west side, Chattahoochee, and he brought his son, who's a year and a half. So I just got to hang out for about an hour or so and really got to see what he's all about and talk about it. Grew up with a family of 10 kids. And, of course, his father, the very famous Fred Smith, the owner of Federal Express. I like to say about Arthur Smith, he was born on third base,
no question. And he decided to go home and run the base because that guy has worked his butt off. It doesn't matter who your dad is. If you end up as head coach of an NFL team, it does mean if your dad could be worth, you know, a quillionaire. And the fact is that he was came from a very prominent family and grinded his way. You know, you hear rich people. We have some rich friends, right?
You certainly do.
And they want, and they wonder how their kids are going to end up. Yeah. Well, that's a good, great. Yeah. Look at what Fred Smith did because he's got a very impressive family.
Is he a foodie? Is that why he was there?
He was there because they're trying to showcase the Falcons in a lot of different ways, not just on the football field.
Smart. Okay.
And wants people to start to know these guys.
That's great.
And Young Way is becoming one of the faces of the franchises. Arthur, he hadn't seen really outside of football, you know, so that was the reason why. All right, should we get Todd Graffanese
please
in the mix here? Our old friend, we'll try to, for those who aren't familiar with Steak and Sandra, who are just rolling into town, we've been here, I don't know, a couple of decades. This guy's been a friend of ours for a long time, joining us from New Orleans is Graf. How you doing, buddy?
I am wonderful. It is so great to hear you guys back on the radio, and I am honored that you've asked me to come on in the first couple days. So it's just great to hear you guys back on again.
Explain to folks what our relationship. I'm trying to remember, how many years back do we go, Mr. Graf, as he had the esteemed job as the voice of the Tulane Green Wave, my alma mater, for a long, long time as well.
Sorry.
Yeah,
man.
I don't want to bore the listeners' steak, but me and you go back to about 1999 when I reached out to you, and you were two radio stations ago, if you will, and I mentioned that I worked at Tulane, and I knew you were a Tulane grad, and basically we went from there, and then, of course, in 2005, after Katrina hit, I had to live in Atlanta for 3 months, and your station was kind enough to allow me to be sane and go into a place every day where I could, you know, work and do things, and, you know, it basically went from there. But we've known each other for 20 years, so.
So we hired Graf after Katrina. We thought we were doing him a favor. Unfortunately for him, who did you live with your first few weeks? You thought, here's the thing. This one of the great disasters in history, and you think it can't get any worse. And then poor Graf, I don't know if they were trying to torture you, but what happened?
Mike Bell took me in for a little bit. those were some awesome nights on Bell's balcony as I just chain-smoked Camel Lights and watched the planes land in the airport, wondering what the heck was I going to do with the rest of my life.
No, that was very sweet of Mike, by the way, in all seriousness. All right, so it's also the voice of the New Orleans Pelicans, who, by the way, are one of the, like, really great stories in the NBA, and our buddy Jose Alvarado. So Tech fans listening, how much do they love Jose Alvarado in New Orleans?
He is a cult figure in the city of New Orleans State. And Sandy, they were chanting that kid's name at the end of the season. Jose, 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 Jose. They were doing
I love that.
It every single night. They love him here, and he loves New Orleans back. It's been awesome. I mean, we can get into the Pelicans at stake.
Another time.
I know you want to talk about the Saints.
I know. Undrafted.
Is Zion Williamson upright this week? And what's the stats?
All right. Sandy, we're not
don't
doing
like
any
that.
Of that.
Don't bounce.
We're not doing that right. Yet. Everything. We
saying.
Have had a drama-free summer. That's all I'm going to say. It's been lovely.
Longtime rivals. We know you give the Falcons a hard time, but we've watched the evolution of the division, and now it's kind of like Brady and the Bucks and everybody else. Is New Orleans poised to make a run? They certainly know how to handle the Bucks, but Jameis Winston banged up a little bit. But where are the Saints land in terms of this division?
Well, the expectations are high, Stig. I mean, you know, this 5 years in a row now, this team's won at least 9 games, and last year was a complete disaster. If you're talking about injuries and COVID and coaches being out, it was nuts. I mean, we went through 4 quarterbacks, 4 kickers, started 58 different players, which was an NFL record, and still won 9 games. Jameis Winston got hurt in game 8. We were 5-2 at the time and just weren't able to overcome that. And actually in the last day, beat the Falcons and had a chance to make the playoffs. And unfortunately, Aaron Donald decided not to show up against the San Francisco 49ers, and the 49ers kept us out of the playoffs, or we would have made it. So
that would have been a remarkable feat.
Remarkable.
Last year. Wow. If that had indeed happened.
No. And just to put – when the Saints put themselves in a position to make the playoffs despite everything that had happened. And, you know, now, look, the offense struggled so much a year ago. I mean, it was tough to get a first down at times. That just showed you how dominant the defense was, kept us in every game, and again, it just was a little too much to overcome at the very end.
Feels like the opposite of the Falcons is what New Orleans is in good shape with, which is obviously their defensive front, which has been a story for years, and protecting the quarterback. On both sides of the line, you seem solid.
Yeah, who'd ever believed at stake that, you know, the defense was actually going to be the calling card of the New Orleans Saints. Last year, without question, the defense was ahead. I'd say 2 years ago, you might have called it even, but I think defense is it. Now, here's the deal, though. The offense is much more suited this season with weapons around Jameis, where they were few and far between a year ago. But you talked about it. The key is going to be the offensive line. And, you know, I mentioned the 58 different starters. There are more starters on the offensive line than any other team last year in the NFL because of just the injury bug that hit. The defensive line is one of the strengths of this team. We've got outstanding size pass rushers. You know, Cam Jordan, 7 sacks away from the all-time Saints record. He's going to pass up my guy, Ricky Jackson. He's going to do it this year. But, you know, they talked to the media yesterday, and Dennis Allen kind of joked that Cam Jordan's the run of the group. I mean, he's 6'4". The rest of the Saints defensive line, especially the ends, they're 6'7 guys. I mean, they do it with size and speed and power. And I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that the Saints have 50 sacks this year. I really don't.
What's Dennis Allen like as head coach?
He's pretty intense. I mean, you know, if you close your eyes, Sandy, it's pretty hard to tell that it's not Sean Payton. They've got a lot of the same kind of expressions. But you got to understand, Dennis Allen's been here since 2015. I mean, he's been the defensive coordinator for a long, long time, and he knows the organization. He knows the culture. And I think he's a little bit more forthcoming, like you were talking about with Arthur Smith. You know, Sean Payton was very, very tight-lipped about many, many things. I think Dennis Allen's a little bit more info, you know, for the media type. But other than that, I mean, it is business as usual. It's actually been a very, very uneventful camp. Now, I know, you know, Jameis, you know, tweaked the foot yesterday.
What does that mean, tweaked the foot?
Yeah, well, you know, here's the bottom line. It's not serious. He's not going to practice the next couple days, which means he's not going to play in the preseason game on Saturday in Houston. I wasn't expecting him to play in that game anyway. He's looked good, though, Sandy. You know, he's wearing the brace still, but they're making him wear the brace on the knee. But he participated in OTAs. He participated in minicamp. He's taken all the team reps up until yesterday when he went out after 7-on-7. And, you know, I know everybody in Atlanta's going, oh, Jameis, he's going to throw the interception. Well, look, last year he threw 3 interceptions and threw 14 touchdowns before he got hurt. In all the team drills this year, he has thrown 60 passes and he has not thrown 1 interception. So
all
they
right,
are
listen,
really,
we'll get,
really.
I got it. I got it.
Go ahead.
Listen,
go ahead.
Talking about Jameis.
I don't
want to
hear. Miss Florida State and Mr. New Orleans over here.
I mean,
come on.
Sandy asked.
Enough
already. I answer questions.
I know,
Sandy.
But listen, we got 1 minute left with Todd Graffanini.
I'll call you later, Todd.
Todd Graffanini on Sports Radio 910 The Game. Real quick, let's talk about the rest of the division. Obviously, we know what's happening in Atlanta, Carolina, and Tampa. You know, we know what the hype is, that Brady's still got plenty of weapons and that Carolina's going to struggle with Baker Mayfield or whoever's their quarterback. You have any reason to think otherwise?
No, I don't. And look, I know Tampa's the pick, but I can promise you nobody in this building fears the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, we just match up tremendously with them. Tampa scored 3 points at home against the Saints in the last two ball games there. Won the last 4 regular season meetings. So the matchup does not favor them whatsoever.
Carolina again, still, you know.
Well, you know, Matt Rhule will detonate that. I'm not, you know, I'm not worried about that either. So
there you go. Hey, real quick, what was
the
highlight?
I'll be there opening day.
Opening day at Mercedes-Benz Saints and Falcons, and a chance to see what Arthur Smith can throw at a team that's given them all kinds of fits. Real quick, 20 seconds. Were you surprised Sean Payton had a whole deal there with Tom Brady and Stephen Ross and the Miami thing was going to happen?
I actually was. I was very surprised. That was very interesting, but obviously.
The biggest news nobody really talks about is that Brady and Payton were headed to Dolphins, and that was happening. Brady would have owned part of the team. They would have had a new coach, and a few things got in the way. All right, Graf, don't be so serious, man. I mean, are you okay?
I'm great. I'm literally getting ready to go watch practice. I'm fantastic.
All right. We'll talk about your trip to Ireland next time you're on, right?
Awesome.
Love you, Todd. Hey, you can listen to every Falcons game along with all the music and news that Atlanta needs right here on the Odyssey app.
Is Boston the right place for the Braves to right the ship? And the speech a Lions player made, maybe for the Hard Knocks people, or maybe it's genuine, that brought tears to his eyes. This is The Steakhouse. We're live at Falcons at Flowery Branch. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.